Did you catch much of that last episode with on the auction?
I watched the whole thing.
Awesome, man. How do you like it?
I mean, you and Adam did a great job of breaking everything down, but it was clear that high-end football had a strong night, a very strong night. You know, I'm a Kobe guy, so it was interesting to see some Kobe cards go for more than I thought they would, honestly. That Mahomes shield went kind of was low, in my opinion. Those are just some initial observations that I had.
And it's not, so it's, the auction's not over yet. I still have it up on my other screen. So, I mean, there hasn't been another bid on the Brady yet, or will there? It's still a 2-4, but I'll keep an eye on it just for fun. There was just a bid on something, the LeBron limited logos, but, all right, guys. So welcome everybody back to After Hours. I am happy to have with me my friend, Max Norris, also known as Putnam Cards on Instagram, and the host of Hobby Update, where he and his partner Shay put out a podcast about once a week. And they're about how long? Like half an hour, 35 minutes? Or
in between like 30, 45 minutes normally.
Yeah, 30 to 45 minutes. I listen to them all. You guys have about 13 or 14 episodes out so far. I think I've heard them all. I enjoy it. It's a nice, easy listen. Some comedy, and as you can tell, Max is like the even keeled guy in the duo in the tandem, and Shay is kind of the crazier guy between the two of them. But they definitely bounce off each other quite nicely. So be sure to check that out. And of course, as I mentioned earlier, I had the pleasure of meeting you, Max, at the National. Actually, we got to meet at the Card Ladder / Rodman's PC / Grant, I can't think of his Instagram handle right now, but they co-hosted a get-together on the Wednesday night, and it was nice. We got to just sit back and chill and hang out and have a nice conversation over some pizza and wings, I believe, right?
Yes, sir. It was funny. I mean, that was a great get-together, and it started out kind of low-key, and then it slowly built up throughout the night, but yeah, it was funny because we were sitting at a table with a bunch of people, Riverfront Collectibles, David, Brian, you, me, a couple other people. And it's just funny getting to actually know people, you know, outside of Instagram and in real life, really get to know who they are. So it was great meeting you there, obviously.
Yeah, for me as well. And Nick Uliano was there. Nick Uliano from... The guy who is the best at seeking out new card accounts on Instagram. Anytime I see an account, Nick's already following them. So a great guy. Yeah, that was, and you're right though. It started off kind of slow. I was actually like a half hour, an hour late from the time that it was called to begin. And I got there and there weren't that many people there, but within a couple hours, the room, it filled up. I guess it just more and more people came, and it was a lot of fun. It was a great way to kick off the week of the National for me, and I'm guessing for yourself too, right?
Yeah, it was a great way to kick it off. You know, by the end of the night, I said this on the most recent episode of Hobby Update, but by the end of the night, I was just standing watching Ken Gold and Nat Turner just do like some weird evil laugh thing in the corner. Like they looked like Bezos and Elon Musk. It was pretty funny.
They were there for sure. I got a picture of myself with those two and Carvin, myself and a trio of hobby legends. All right, let's say hello to the chat. We got Troy, welcome back, peeps. What is up? My guy Lapper is here. What is happening? Tyler, Volume Accumulation, Matthew Jones, Philly Mombi says Putnam is a G, and then says Jay Lee is a legend. That is high praise for both of us. Alf Godet, welcome back. Wow, pixels. Different pixels from the last show, if that's what you're talking about, where we had my giant face along with Adam's kind of staring down at whoever was in between us there, whether it was Jesse or Eric, Jesse being or Eric at the end. Mike Wick, welcome back. Philly Mombi loves to see this collab. That's great to hear. Thank you so much. And she blinded me. There's Andy. Good evening, my friend. Good evening. What's up with you? Fire Sports Card says hello. Alf had to restart. Got it. Well, you're back. Great to see you back. So let's talk a bit about your show, Hobby Update, and kind of why did you guys, why did you and Shay, and how well did you know each other before you started your podcast?
Yeah, so we actually met at a Dallas card show, I want to say in late March, maybe, or April. And that's when we first met in person. I had seen his content before from his infamous wrong PSA order video where he got the wrong order back and he had to deal with that. That's where I first saw him. But yeah, we met at a Dallas card show. And then within a I think, a couple of weeks, we just started up a podcast. I wanted to start a podcast again, and I was looking for a partner to do it with. And, you know, he's kind of the yin to my yang. I mean, we're pretty much polar opposites, and that's what makes it work.
That's, I had myself muted as I was opening up a tin of Pringles, Wendy's spicy chicken. Guys, if you haven't tried them, they're actually pretty good. I had a tin the other night. My wife bought me a couple tins of those, so I got a little bit hungry. You know, it's a lot of work putting together these 3.5 hour streams, right? So you guys put the show together, and I mean, you, when you say, you know, you're the yin to his yang, you guys are completely different. So last night I was watching Instagram Live. You know, of course the crossover was on with the Card Ladder crew, and Josh had to leave for a little bit for some, I don't know why, because I wasn't there at that time. But then Chris, you know, I heard my name came up, so I called in, or I videoed in, and I got to make my crossover debut. But earlier that night, Ken Golden was doing a live, and I was watching that because, you know, he was bringing on some guests, and Shay ended up on there, and
I was watching.
You watched it. So what did you think of that? How did you enjoy your partner's debut on Golden Live?
Look, here's the thing you gotta understand about Shay. He believes he is, without a doubt, the best marketer on the planet Earth. And I give him credit for it, because he really went to town in terms of marketing his Gold Kaboom on the Ken Golden Live. It was pretty funny seeing Golden interact with Shay in a public forum. I'll just leave it there.
Well, yeah, because Shay, well, and I mean, I'm going to have him on next week, so everyone will get to see both of them, both Max and Shay, and just how different they are. But he did end up being on the news in China, which I think was really, fun for him to see that happen. So that was pretty cool. So was this your first national?
Yes.
Yeah. And it's already a few weeks in the past, and I get that, but as your first national, I haven't had you on the show before. I'm sure some people in my audience maybe aren't familiar with you. Maybe not, maybe they are, but whichever way that is, I'm curious, man. Like what was your perspective of the show? Just like from front to back, start to bottom. Front to back, top to bottom, start to finish. What did you think? What did you come away thinking? Is this something that you want to go to every time? Do you feel, is that question? And how did you leave feeling the hobby was doing?
Yeah, I mean, the National is very clearly like the Super Bowl of the hobby. So as a diehard sports card, you know, fan, I guess then, I mean, it's a must attend event. So I plan on going it every year. From here on out. I mean, honestly, my biggest takeaway was that we're kind of in a bubble in terms of our sports card Instagram community. It in no way, in no means is it a proper representation of the actual industry. There's so many other people out there who we aren't interacting with on Instagram. And it was, it really kind of showed me that in a real life scale, just how many people are in the sports card market and how many collectors there are out there.
Yeah. It kind of was like, I often wonder, and we often wonder, how big is this hobby, you know? And then you go to the Mecca being the National, and, you know, 100,000 people plus kind of make their way through. And I know there's people that come back, come there every day, but in any event, there's a lot of unique people still that make their way through the show. And there's everybody that doesn't go to the show. There's everybody that isn't on Instagram. There's everybody that doesn't have an LCS. There's everybody who's in the far corners and just doesn't travel. And I still don't know how to extrapolate from the attendance at the show or from the amount of card accounts on Instagram to what the, to how big the hobby actually is. Any tips, any Mr. Expert on how to do that?
I mean, I'm Mr. Expert.
I'm just kidding about that.
It also was good to see, you know, some real names in the room at the National, you know, Adam Lefko, Alexis Ohanian, Darren Revelle, you know, the hobby is clearly becoming more of a mainstream thing. I wouldn't say we've really become mainstream yet because, you know, out of my 50 closest friends who are into sports, maybe 5 of them are into cards, you know, out of those 50. So, I mean, I will say though, like, it's very clear, obviously the industry and the market has grown exponentially over the last couple of years, but I still think there's a lot of room to run.
Sorry, did you say you have 50 friends? That's a lot of
friends. No, I know. That was a complete hypothetical. I actually have no real life friends. They're all just on Instagram and doing sports cards.
I'm like, wow, this guy's popular. 50 friends, man. I wish I had 50 friends. I'm kidding.
Anti-social guy you'll ever meet.
Well, I don't know, man. I mean, you're doing a podcast. You're coming on here. You know, you're in the hobby. So let's say hello to more people in the chat. See if we have any questions, comments, that sort of thing. But Matt Jones says the auction is still going. I do have it on right there. The last bid was on a beautiful, immaculate Giannis card, $50,000 right now. Tom Bullard corrects the spelling right there to Putnam. Good evening again, Tom. Boston Authentics, happy to see you here, Max. Seth Powell, good evening. Andy says Shea is wild. Boston says super cringe on Ken's podcast. For Shay, poor Shay. Brian said basketballs. Yeah, you can say I'm back, said Brian. Basketballs are my best John Wick voice. too good. Yeah, Matt Jones noticed that too. Well, you have 50 friends. Mike Wick's impressed too.
Okay. Well, maybe cut that by a factor of like 5.
Yeah.
That's maybe a more accurate representation.
Maybe 10. Seth says, what were the two cards Max was looking for at the National? There's a fun question, Seth. What were the two cards you were looking for, Max, and what were the cards you ended up coming away with?
Yeah, so I wish I had one of them down here. But so the two cards I was looking for the National was, one of them is super specific. It was it's pure nostalgia for me. It's right when I was getting into the hobby in 2008. It was a 2008 SPX Radiance Parallel Kobe out of 25, which I didn't find at the National, but I was able to find it a couple of days later. And I was able to pick one of those up, fortunately. The second card I was looking for, which I thought might have been in my reach, but apparently a recent auction showed it's not. It was a 2012 Prism, the MVP insert, Kobe Gold out of 10, which I thought I would have had it. I was looking for one of those at the National. Obviously, the chances of finding that there are slim to none, but there was an auction going on gold, and which ended up going, I think, for around 50 grand. I thought I had a chance at it, but I was humbled.
So what, tell everybody, what do you collect? What's the theme of your PC?
Kobe, to put it in simple terms, but you know, I have a broad range of interests in terms of cards. Like, I really want a Jackie Robinson rookie. That's one of the few baseball cards that I ever really care to own or would want to own. Like rare Kobe stuff. Like, I have very specific taste in cards, I guess. So, yeah, like really rare, great looking, iconic kind of Kobe cards, I guess.
Why Jackie Robinson? I mean, is it the obvious, like the same reason most people? Just his, like, his cultural significance or anything? Why Jackie for you?
If you can, yeah, I mean, the obvious point is the cultural significance. I'm a big cultural significance guy. It's one of the reasons, well, some people may not like this, but I picked one of these up at the National. you know, I'm a big cultural significance guy, and it doesn't get more culturally significant than Jackie Robinson. I mean, every person literally learns about Jackie Robinson probably in elementary school, or if not middle school, right? So he's just a huge American sports figure, an American figure in general. And that's why I really want to have that card one day.
Yeah, I don't blame you, man. I wanted one too, and I got me one. Not to make you envious, but I hope you can join the club one day. Vintage Cards wants to know, which Jackie Robinson rookie would you like to have? Because there's the Leaf and there's the Bowman.
Yeah, I mean, the one that you just showed, I'm pretty jealous about, but that's the one.
I do love this card for sure. Back to the comments for a moment here. Boston Authentic wants to know, do CryptoPunks count as friends?
Yes.
Yes, they do. Brad Humber, interesting comment here, says, will be extremely interesting to see what kind of attendance the National gets next year when the borders open totally, cross fingers, for the likes of Canadians and those in Europe and Asia. Don't forget about Asia. We get a lot of people from Asia coming, and even South America. I mean, thankfully, Rodman made his way in, and so did Frankie. I mean, these guys came from Puerto Rico and the Honduras to get there and join us. But I think a lot of people didn't come from Asia, Canada, I know for sure. I mean, I did. I was going for sure. But I know a lot of my fellow Canadian collectors didn't make their way through. Alf Godet says, 2021 football brand, which one to buy if you could only buy one? I'm not the right one to answer that, are you?
No, sir.
All right. Sorry, Alf. Wrong podcast for that, Alf. DR asks a fun question. We'll start with you, Max. What's the first card you remember getting as a kid?
So it's actually bad. I don't even know the year. But it was a Tracy McGrady, Ben Wallace dual jersey card from a brand, I believe, called Authentics. That was the very first card I remember getting as a kid.
For me, I mean, I was opening packs in the early 80s, so I couldn't tell you, but I have early memories of like a Steve Yzerman rookie, a Dale Hawerchuk rookie, hockey cards, you know, 82 Hawerchuk, 84 Yzerman. Those are some of my earliest memories, for sure. Volume Likes Mamba. Thank you very much, Vintage. Appreciate that. Brandon Metalberg, welcome. Jeremy is the GOAT. Thanks, man. Thanks for the knowledge this Saturday night. You are welcome for sure. And Seth says numbers would have been even bigger if not for COVID. Yeah, I think they would. I think for sure they would have been. Makes you wonder how many more people would have come that weren't that were kind of willing to, right?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I didn't even think about the fact that there were no international travelers. I mean, or very little. That hadn't even crossed my mind until now. So, yeah, that is crazy to think about.
Yeah, it is. It is for sure. So, all right, let's change gears a little bit. So, it was a week of news in the hobby. You know, it started with the one that's been totally forgotten about, the Honus Wagner baseball card, the SGC3, breaks the record over $6 million, followed by the big news involving PWCC and eBay and their divorce. And then followed by what many people, including myself, think might be the biggest news in the history of the hobby, being that Fanatics basically usurped Topps and maybe even Panini from their ability to produce cards down the road. Two questions on this. Number one, has there been too much content on it already? Knowing that I'm going to do a show with Brian Gray tomorrow night to talk about it. And number two, your thoughts on this. Like, how long have you been in the hobby, Max?
So it's actually funny. I got into the hobby right before Panini got the NBA license, like right during that transition period. So I got in 2008.
Okay. So with that said, my original two questions are, first of all, has there been too much content on this already that you've seen? And number two, like your thoughts on it, you know, you've been in the hobby close to 10 years. What are your thoughts on this? Not asking you to predict what's going to happen, because I don't think anyone really can, although people are predicting just about every plausible and some not non-plausible situations that are going to come out of this. someone's going to be right, you know, probably. But what are your kind of thoughts on this whole thing? I mean, any comments to you? What was the first thing that went through your mind when you heard about this?
Yeah, I mean, well, first initial thought, I guess most people probably had this thought, is this is crazy. What's going on? I mean, it's like an earthquake. Like everyone has to now like recalibrate, like, you know, their approach to things, I guess. But, you know, there's been a lot of change in the sports card market and the industry over the last couple of years. And obviously this may be one of the biggest, if not the biggest. You know, I think it's definitely a step closer to bringing the hobby more mainstream, with a brand like Fanatics getting involved and just the marketing that they're going to put into this thing. That's another thought of mine. And then just Panini, you know, the last, how long has it been? A decade pretty much.
Yeah.
And a decade and a couple of years that they're going to have, you know, the license. And, you know, how will we look back on this era? Is kind of what I think about and what I've been thinking about.
You know, what's funny, 2020 was a year of extreme change. And I just see Birds on the Bat lets us know that the auction ended. I see it did. So we'll take a look in a minute, but 2020 was a year of extreme change, you know, for reasons, including the pandemic. And I remember coming out of 2020, you know, saying with whoever I had on my show, like 2021 is going to be big too, but what, you know, how much different is it going to be? How much bigger can it be than 2020? And 2021 is like blew us away, right? Absolutely blew us away. So Ken Golden jumps in and says, Panini, the last dance. If that's the real Ken Golden, thank you for joining. I just do not know if it is, because some people like to imitate other high profile people in the hobby. So if that's you, Ken, welcome. If it's a Ken copycat, then well, welcome as well, I guess. And it could easily be either or. It is late where Ken lives, though. But he was up late last night watching the crossover, too. All right, let's go to a few more comments here. I do want to help out. Foul Five Ball wants to know, what is the plastic cleaner that I use on slabs? Guys, if you're not using this yet to clean the scratches on your slabs, Meguiar's Scratch X 2.0. Meguiar's Scratch X 2.0. A little dollop of that on top of your slab and some, I use paper towel, will clean that up. Big unit card that got me started in the hobby was the 1988 Topps Football Bo Jackson Super Rookie. I know that card very well. That's where he's sitting on the bench, right? Great, great card. Those Wendy's Pringles are kicking your butt. These are spicy, guys. I'm telling you, these are spicy, like a spicy chicken sandwich at Wendy's for sure. Matt Pime says, Jeremy, thanks for always representing Canada. You are one of their top exports, just behind Gretzky and Rush. Getty Lee, I'll take it, man. I'll take it. Thank you so much, Matt Pime. Very, very much. Thank you for that comment. Yes. You can wait for, I confirmed it's a Scratch X 2.0. Logan Ward says, do you think that the Wagner would have gone for more money if it had been in a BGS or PSA holder in the same grade? What do you think about that, Max?
You know, I used to think that just in every facet, BGS was better than SGC, but I've come to learn that for vintage, SGC is highly respected. So I'm not sure if it would necessarily trump. I think it actually would have done the same, if not even maybe even less than a BGS slab, but PSA slab obviously would have done more, I think.
I agree with that. I think in a PSA 3 would likely, I mean, but how much more? Like the card still did over 6 million. How much more? And we don't know, but you know, it makes you wonder how much more could it have done?
I will say, I don't know if that is the real Ken Gold or not, but if it is, the live last night was highly entertaining. Keep them coming.
It was highly entertaining. You brought on some great guests. He goes on to say, I wrote you a nice inscription on your card, which the real Ken Golden did write a nice inscription on the Ken Golden card he gave me, but I showed that on my show. So even a copycat Ken Golden could. Ken, if that is you, send me a message from your account to my account on Instagram and confirm it is you, and then I don't need to worry about it anymore. Please. JLee_sportscardslive is my Instagram, Ken. All right. Ken Richardson, good evening. Good evening. Great to see you. Another Clubhouse regular as of late. Love the T206 portraits. Looking to pick up an Addy Joss. Good luck to you on that. Triple V. Ken Golden, we'll go with it being, it's him. It's him. All right, it's Ken. Him. Thank you. Thank you. I checked it. It's the real Ken Golden. See, that's how you confirm these things. That's how you confirm. Good to know. Well, welcome, as always, Ken. Brian Basketball says, Tops is about to try to damage our hobby on the way out the door. Hello, Junk Wax era, even more on the current printing levels. But the NBA players will eventually own every type of media. Interesting comment. Maybe, maybe not. Time will tell. So Ken says, yes for PSA, no for BGS, which, I mean, I think I certainly agree with that.
Yeah,
and I think that's just the case, right? I mean, it's for just about every card at this point in time, for sure, for sure. All right, Tom Bullard, 89 score tops and pro set football got me hooked as a kid. He then turned into hunting 87 bonds and Canseco. That Canseco Donruss rookie was a big one. I once traded away a CD player, a CD player that you would plug into your car. I traded away for that Canseco rookie card with Joe Daly's sports cards. Pretty awesome. Pretty awesome. Drake wants to know what book and bottle of wine he was consuming before the live show.
Yeah, so I will say I'm a little slacker tonight. There was no book, but we have a beautiful bottle of not entirely sure how to pronounce it, but it's Pinot Noir. That's my wine of choice. So there we go.
There you go. Little Pinot. Birds on the Bat says, yeah, BBG is really not respected much in vintage, about one full grade more lenient in my experience. And Snoop says, it's not over yet, guys. Tops has been seriously devalued. They are prime for a buyout in 2 years, even lower valuation. That's the thing. Like, it's tough to say because the Tops brand is extremely valuable if they do something with it post loss of license, right? Like, I don't know what's going to happen. I'm excited to have Brian Grant tomorrow night. I think he's going to have some great insights to help us understand maybe what their options are, which, you know, it's not like this is happening next season either. There is time to, I almost want to say scramble, but you don't have to scramble when you have a couple of years to figure things out. So it's interesting. Hockey guy says Tops may make a run at the NHL, which begs the question, why was the NHL spared? Actually, I wore my Upper Deck shirt tonight, as a tribute to them being the only of the big four sports not to be caught up in the Fanatics thing as of yet. But maybe it will eventually. Maybe it will. We'll see. Ken says, thank you, Max, for your comment on my live. I'll try to do it once a week. Yeah, Ken, Friday night live I know you kind of were joking last night saying, yeah, maybe I'll do it on Friday night, you know, at 11 o'clock Eastern or midnight Eastern, right? I don't know if that would offend anybody, but I think that'd be, even earlier, it's late for you anyway, right? So, and then the crossover guys come on. That's a great double feature on the calendar.
Yeah. There goes my Friday night right there.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Well, I do find myself, you know, the kids go to sleep and, you know, crossovers coming on at for me, it's like 10 o'clock. It'd be nice to have the early show as well to set the table for, and not even, I mean, it's like both major events, right? On every Friday night would be great. Oh, Daniel Busby's first card ever was a Roger Staubach rookie from the flea market. And it was beat up so bad. It was my first card. I still have it to this day. Here's a question for you, Max. This is from Mike Wick. Do you sell cards on any online platforms?
I mean, I try to do most of my deals privately through Instagram or Facebook. I kind of get nervous sending my cards to auction just because at that point you kind of lose a lot of control. I like maintaining control. That said, if I did have a big card that I was going to send, put on auction right now, I know we just had the whole PWCC of blah, but I mean, I'd be sending it to Golden. If it was a super high end card, that's where I'd be sending it.
Yeah. And I don't do, I don't sell. I mean, I've sold on eBay historically. I've used ComC before. But I do not enjoy the selling process on eBay. I never have. I've done it because, you know, I find it's like you got to just set aside an evening and just get into that scanning listing sequence and writing the descriptions and talking about the cards. I don't have a template that I'm not very good at it. So I don't. I've always kind of enjoyed ComC because you just send them the cards and they've taken care of things for you from every step of the way. But what I have done is I've used consignment sellers to sell my cards over the years. And I find that to be convenient, you know, just like ComC being a consignment seller as well. Okay. Josh says, Brian at Leaf, so that's Brian Gray, basically said on the last show to get ready for these companies being sold. So it wasn't surprising after hearing that. So he's talking about when he was on with me just a couple weeks ago. He was on with me the Saturday after the National. And I'm bringing them back pretty quick here, but it's definitely worthy with all the news. And so, no, it isn't surprising. I think we're going to get some more insights from him because he definitely is in the know more than myself. I'm guessing he knows a bit more than Max. So we'll definitely learn more from him tomorrow night, guys. 10 o'clock Eastern, he'll be joining me on Sports Cards Live as well. I don't know how to say this, but we're going to go with Skeppy. Says, I don't think people understand if Fanatics acquires Topps, the change will happen much sooner than 2026. It's an interesting point because if you acquire someone who has a current license and then you have it, if they acquire them, but Topps is a big company, right? They're not just baseball cards. They are other things as well, confectionery. So now if they were to sell off the baseball card division, potentially that the license would go. Who knows? You know what? I don't want to speculate because I just don't know. And I'm listening to myself. I'm saying, oh, that sounded stupid. So why are you, right? It's like, why are you even bothering?
Yeah, I'd save it for Brian.
What's that?
Save it for tomorrow.
Save it for tomorrow. See what Brian Gray has to say. I've always enjoyed having his ideas on things. Logan Ward says Upper Deck does have Michael Jordan and Tiger and LeBron, I believe. Although Carvin has made it very clear that Michael Jordan would not sign for Fanatics or anyone else, even if Upper Deck was acquired, I believe the way Carvin makes it sound, it's a non-transferable contract that he has to sign autographs. And I've also heard that he owns a stake of Upper Deck, which I just don't know is true or if that's rumor and innuendo, not quite sure, but either way. If anyone knows that in the chat, Ken, let us know. That'd be interesting to, you know, get something to get confirmation on. DR, what do you guys think of a Topps or Panini and HP partnership to create printed home cards? I think it would be awesome for all the custom card creators and maybe print your NFT. What do you think of that, Max?
Well, NFT is a trigger word for me right now. Gets me all... It's warm, fuzzy, excited. But I mean, custom cards, a lot of people like the idea of custom cards. A lot of people don't like the idea of custom cards. But hey, I've got a beautiful Jeremy Lee rookie card sticker. I'm ready to send it to PSA. So there's a nice little custom card.
There's a custom. Well, I'll answer the question. I hate it. I hate the idea of printed home cards. I wouldn't consider them to be what I've collected my whole life. And what are they printing on? Like 3D printers use this kind of plastic resin sort of thing, right? I want my cards to be cardboard. So I don't know. I guess you'd have to get the paper stock. I don't like it. I don't like it. I want my cards.
The more I read that comment, the more I'm like, eh.
The more you hate it, right? I want pack pulled. To me, pack pulled, I'm okay with some direct-to-consumer stuff like the Topps Project stuff. I think that's innovative, creative, but tradition is important. customs are important, and pack pulled is what we all grew up on. So I don't want to print my own cards. I just don't. So I hope that's, you know, I could see it being like you have this direct to consumer project 2020 project 70 stuff, print your own cards. Okay, fine. But those cards better not also be available in traditional packs. Now, I've heard so much speculation on what's going to happen with in the Fanatics era that maybe there isn't even packs anymore. Is that going to be a potential scenario? I hope not, but what that's going to do is it's going to make all the unopened product and all the cards from the pre-Fanatics eras that much more desirable, coveted, and important and valuable, I would say. Did that make sense, Max?
Yeah, I mean, I find it highly unlikely that they're going to just do away with packs and boxes. And I mean, that's just foundational to the hobby. So, it'll certainly be interesting to see what changes they bring to distribution. And, we'll see.
We'll see. I saw some comments that I think Southern Hobby is the happiest entity out there, because if distribution is cut out and they just sold to Beckett before this all happened, that they might have got out of the perfect time. Who knows? I do think it's all speculation right now. And I think, again, as I said earlier, people are speculating all over the place. And, you know, you're throwing darts. Someone is going to hit that bullseye at some point, right? Someone's probably hit it. And then they can rewind back to August of 2021 and say, see, I told you so. And that would be...
On the topic of speculation and just people thinking, like, you know, what's going to happen, or, you know, what cards will be more or less popular, or will people be hoarding wax or whatever? Like, the idea of loading up on just sure things, like vintage or 90s inserts, is incredibly attractive right now. Those are just sure things. You know that whatever Fanatics does is not going to have any impact on those kind of subclasses of cards. So that's kind of where I'm personally looking a little bit.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I made that comment on the crossover last night that I think, you know, I started out by saying we are right now, we're in the good old days. We're in the pre-Fanatics era.
The good old days.
We're in the good old days right now. Every day, you know, every era, every 5-year window is the good old days, right? But right now, not knowing what's going to come once that transition happens means that anything can happen. We just don't know. So right now, maybe the real good old days, they may not be. We will find out in 10 years. But, and I mean 10 years once we have a few years in that new, in the Fanatics era. But for now, you know, like, let's say the Prizm brand goes away. Prizm Golds go away. They're not going to be made anymore if Panini's not involved. If that brand doesn't transfer to Fanatics in one way or another, all of a sudden, those Luka Prizm Golds from rookie year forward, all the subsequent years, are going to be very, very important, because 15 years from now, guys in their 20s, in their teens who are chasing these and want these cards are going to have even more money than they do now. And they're going to be going back. They're going to want those cards because that's their nostalgia. And they can't get that card from 2035 or 2040 or whatever it'll be. So I think that people who are really keen and really sharp are going to be starting to look at what may disappear that I should be collecting, kind of, I don't want to say loading up on, because that has an undertone of greed. I saw that comment in the chat already. But, you know, we all collect, we all want the best cards we can have. So I think that, you know, look for cards right now. My advice would be look for cards that are super important, and that there's a few of them that may just not be made later. Because if you're in your, even if you're not, whatever age you are, just think about people that are 20 years younger than you are going to want those cards down the road, I think. So there's some opportunity in all this, I believe. Thoughts on that, Max?
I will say, I mean, I'm 22, right? And for me, I'm not so, well, we'll see in 10 years, but I'm not super nostalgic about, you know, gold prisms or, you know, big Panini stuff, because I got in 2008, and my prime collecting years as a kid was 2008 to 2011, 2012. So I'm like the last few years of Upper Deck and super early Panini. That's like what I'm the most nostalgic about. And, you know, the key cards from those years are the ones that I'm going to be going after in 5-10 years. But I mean, a lot of people my age are super nostalgic about gold prisms and, you know, big hits from the Panini era. So I can definitely see those becoming more and more sought after down the road.
Same here, for sure. Purple Haze makes a comment. We're behind. We're 12 minutes behind the comments. It's putting Josh Luber in control of the entire hobby, which that's a big word, entire hobby, worries me. Have you seen his TED Talk? It's hard to ignore the sense of greedy undertones. Well, Purple Haze, I'll say, did you see his Sports Cards Live interview? Because he was on with me in July, just about a month ago, 6 weeks ago or so. And we had a great chat. I'd recommend you watch that and round out the information you're using to form your opinion. Now, I just know Josh from there and hanging out with him a bit at the National, but seems like a pretty good dude to me. True collector, loves the hobby, loves the people in the hobby, loves the cards. So, you know, watch that and see if that rounds it out at all for you. Ken jumps in and says, as long as Josh gets good VPs and good brand managers, he will be fine. And that's the thing. Josh has built a company. He's going to understand he needs a team. He's going to know what he doesn't know. And that is so key for a good leader, to know what you don't know and surround yourself with good people. Ken nails it right there. Good VPs, good brand managers. He will be fine, right? Because they will help him out. But if he's a good leader and manager and motivator, then that's very important too. You don't need to be in charge of the whole hobby. And the word whole hobby is like, it's not the whole hobby. The whole hobby goes back to like the late 1800s. We're talking about the future that hasn't even happened yet. But I still understand Purple Haze, the comment. By whole hobby, I think what it means is all the sports, or at least the three biggest ones, that's for sure. Ken says, by the way, new production cards is not the entire. Exactly. New production. It's a big part of it. It's a big part of the, you know, it's everything but the secondary market for the most part. So it's still something, but it's certainly not the entire hobby. Jahan says, I need a job in the hobby to fund my hobby. Hey, welcome to the club, right? Welcome to the club. PSA Europe. Yeah. You know, Nat has indicated that growth will happen. In what order and where, we will see. We will see. Ken says, make sure Brian has his chat on. Make sure Brian has his chat. Okay. Will do, Ken. Will do. Tomorrow. I know him since 1990 and I will surely heckle. Sounds good, Ken. Sounds good. And hey, maybe Ken, maybe you want to join us for the second hour or something like that. Let me know if you're up for that. Love to have you join the panel tomorrow night. Johan says, correct, Ken. All of the value of cards isn't going anywhere, especially vintage. I completely agree with that, Johan. Bang on. Ken Richardson owns a chain of hobby stores in Western Canada. Says NHL has the least volume of trading card sales globally of the four major North American sports, but they already have partnerships with the NHL. It would be unlikely they don't make some form of play. It would be weird if they didn't. It would be weird to be the one sport that is kind of excluded from this new era of the hobby. So be interesting to see. Ken, thanks for Ken Richardson. Great to have you. And now we have Brian Basketball is asking Ken Golden, do you know if Golden Auctions will ever accept HGA cards? We won't.
There you go.
So Ken was on with me earlier in the year and also last year, and he made the comment back then that it'll take 5 years for Golden Auctions to accept a new grading company because they have to establish themselves. And I thought that was a very good position to take, because grading is one thing. It's subjective, but authentication is not subjective. And to me, authentication is kind of it's the precursor to grading, right? Like, Max, in your opinion, how important is authentication, the ability to authenticate cards to the grading companies and their services?
I mean, it starts there, right? Like the car has to be authentic. And you have to be able to make sure that it's authentic before you go anywhere. It's foundational.
I think so too. If you can't authenticate the card, now let me ask you this, Max, what do you think of this? And I'm asking the chat too. If a company and the personnel at the company, I'm not speaking about any company in particular, but if a grading company doesn't have the experience and knowledge to authenticate all the cards, should they be a grading company? Like, can a grading company exist without authenticating? Can you just grade a card and not tell your submitter if it's authentic? What would your position be on that, Max? And put that out there to Ken and the rest of the chat as well.
I mean, yeah, that can exist, but that doesn't mean that anybody is gonna, you know, use that service or take it seriously, or, you know. So I mean, I will never mess like with HGA or any of these new grading companies that have popped up in recent years. In the last year, yeah. Just because, like, I don't really know who, you know, who's running the show, what the situation is, what their experience is, you know, just go with the known brands that you know are going to do the job right.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think that's why Ken made the statement, you know, earlier this year that 5 years that's your audition time. That's your time to not only that, to make sure you're going to exist. You need to endure in this hobby. It would be imagine selling a card in a holder in 2021, and then, you know, 2023 rolls around, they're not around anymore. 2024 comes and the card is deemed inauthentic. Who's going to be left holding the bag? Is it going to be the consignment seller, the auction house, the guy that sold it at the card show? Well, that person will be hard to track down. But if it's an auction house, they're gonna, you know, the buyer's gonna have the receipt. You're gonna be able to trace it back. So, I like the position of at least 5 years. But now Ken says no, we won't. So maybe he has a specific reason with respect to that grading company that he wouldn't, which I don't know. Go ahead.
Can I give a quick hot take on grading, real quick?
Yeah, please.
Now, obviously, Ken probably has much more inside information than I do, but I'm of the belief that within 10 years, I use 10 years, it's just a long enough period of time, that the hobby will have to adapt and that all cards will be, have a significant, will, the grading process will be significantly done by computers and artificial intelligence.
That's the take. I don't disagree with that. I've seen some pretty cool things out there, and I can see that happening as well. Now, what will the competition be like? Will it be the same technology used by different companies? Will it be different, and how will that set them apart? I guess time will tell. Okay, Ken confirms, I believe it's confirming, that Michael Jordan owns a piece of Upper Deck, so makes you think that maybe he wouldn't sign for him. But Carvin actually said that, you know, MJ would actually just say, I'm done signing. That's it. Which would be great for people that have Michael Jordan autographs, and not so great for people that don't. So, like everything, time will tell. Time will tell. Jahan is asking Ken to open up in Ireland. Snoop says, Topps is primarily candy. They make more money with their candy division than with cards. It's the reason they didn't sell the candy division in 2017. Okay, good stuff. Hockey, I want to know, what grade is the J. Lee rookie card? It's raw. It's graded RAW.
Yeah, right now it's raw. I got to send it to PSA still. So we'll see if they take it.
Too funny. Ken says candy was 30% of revenue for Topps in 2020, not the majority. So what was 70? Was it baseball cards or was it other confectionery items? Ken says, sorry, I'm the ultimate fact checker. Good to know. Hey, good to have facts, right? We have card porn in the house. Says, not sure if Topps will allow themselves to be walked over. They have a lot of pride and history. Agree. they could simply play hardball and wait for a sensible offer while Fanatics learns how to make cards. They could, but what are they going to do with me up to 70% of their capacity at that point in time, I wonder. Yeah, Matt Jones says, print your own card sounds horrible. Logan Ward is throwing up. Snoop, I'm trying to understand NFTs, but what happens to NFTs if the server crashes and info is lost? Do you have an answer for that, Max?
I was planning on avoiding talking about anything NFTs during this conversation because after all, this is Sports Card Live. But Snoop 12922, if you want to DM me on Instagram, feel free and I can help answer some questions.
I am good with that position, Max. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. All right. Ken says Card Porn will be my guest next week. They are out hiring an actor right now to prop up on IG. That is awesome. That is awesome. I've invited Card Porn on too, Ken. And I said to them, come on, you know, just wear a mask and put on like a voice altering machine or something like that.
Do you mean like a full on ski mask?
Yeah, whatever. A bag with holes on the eyes. I don't care. Maybe just have the camera pointing the other way. You know, have it pointing at your driver's license, but have it pointing the other way. And you know, alter your voice. What would be so bad about that? Let's do it. I think they're protecting their anonymity extremely well, you know, even though they have slipped up, but I think they're doing as well as they can. Ken says, or Card Porn says to him, only if we can break your sealed box of 86 Fleer basketball live. Ken, is it worth it?
Ken was very close to fumbling that sealed box on his live yesterday. It was a close call.
It is. Seth Powell says, Ken, when does the reality show come out? And congrats. So Max and I were both fortunate to be invited to the Golden One of One dinner at the National, which was on the Thursday night when the title of the show was announced, which is the Golden Touch. Really cool. Very fitting, I would say. And so we learned from there that they're going to start, and Ken may have answered this already, starting to film in the fall, I think as early as next month, with the show releasing in early to spring 2022, as I believe what Ken announced at the dinner. So time will definitely tell. Oh, here we go. March to April, he says. Ken Richardson says, anyone want to buy a card store? Just kidding. Ink, paper, wax collector. I think the Fanatics cards will be like tops now, offered for a limited time and printed to order. So that means no. See, that means no packs.
I think that's not going to be the case. I mean, may have a certain, you know, they may have their own kind of tops now kind of a thing, but I think that's not going to be the majority of, that's not going to be how things are done.
Dude, we are so behind in the comments. It's like, these guys must be like, what are you doing, Jeremy and Max? We were talking about that 15 minutes ago in the chat. Like, we are so behind. That's how this show works, though, guys. You guys light up the chat. We want to see what you're talking about, right, Max? We want to see what's going on out there. So maybe when we go public, I will crack. That's a good thing. Okay, then maybe Card Porn will crack then too. That'd be pretty cool. Excuse me. These Wendy's spicy chicken Pringles, they are having their way with me right now.
They're getting to you.
They're getting to me. They are getting to me. Brian Basketballs, who's been a welcome addition to the show tonight, says, unsure how this will affect the local LCS and what kind of deal Fanatics will make them sign to carry their product. Maybe all online, beware. I've seen a lot of speculation about what happens to distribution, LCS. Is there still going to be, you know, the whole hobby could change. Everything we know about it, you might want to just write it off and start fresh. I don't know. I mean, I sure hope not, because opening packs is something that society has enjoyed for so long. Do you think rewriting that is really the way to go? I mean, what do you think, Max?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean,
who knows?
Can I talk a little bit on Luber a little bit?
Please.
Okay. So I've met Josh Luber. I've worked for Josh Luber for a short period of time last summer at StockX. And I'm from the Detroit area, 40, 45 minutes outside of Detroit. So this is where StockX is based and located. And Luber, he and Dan Gilbert, who's the Quicken Loans and the owner of the Cleveland Cavaliers, Dan Gilbert and Luber had the same idea for StockX at the same time, and that's how they connected. And Josh Luber took that company from idea to where it is, where it is today. And he helped build that company. You know, he was one of the guys there. So, and he took sneakers, or he helped take sneakers mainstream. And he was a part of that. So I wouldn't discount Josh Luber and, what he's capable of doing. And he's obviously very passionate about sports cards. And I think he understands the hobby pretty well. And I think he understands that, hobby shops and opening boxes and ripping packs is foundational to the hobby. And I don't think he's going to screw with that too much. So that's just my take on it.
Well, you have insight because you know him, you've worked with him. That's a great take. This comment here from Josh says, pretty sure Luber is just going to try to do the right things for the hobby, which can't be said for the guys heading the other companies, sadly. So do you feel from Max, is that basically corroborating what you were just like? Are you almost corroborating Josh's comment that Josh Luber is going to try and do the right things for the hobby?
Yeah, I think he's going to do his best to help grow the hobby to a place that we can't even imagine.
Yeah. Skeppy here says that nostalgia can expire. Legendary demand always lasts. It's why you have a 48 leaf Jackie sitting next to you. Yes, I do. I don't sleep with it, but I kiss it before I go to bed.
You got to stop pulling it. I'm like getting real close to just going on eBay and seeing what's there.
Ken Golden says, I hope in 2022, I think that's to play in the World Series of Poker, maybe. My wife is scared every time I travel due to COVID, even though I have 2 shots. Yeah, that's the way wives are, no doubt. But hey, looking out for her man, right? Wants the best for her man. So that's it's admirable for sure. Ken says, authenticity is the most important thing. Grading is secondary. We are way behind in these comments, but yes, that's completely agree. Hockey Guy says, does any grading company have the ability to authenticate grade all the cards? I mean, I don't know, but I, as I've said before, I got a full tour of PSA's office back in 2009, and the reference room was filled with reference materials. I couldn't believe it. And that was 2009. So what they must have by now is pretty, it would be even more rounded out. So maybe not, Hockey Guy, but it's like the company with the biggest reference material library is the one that I will trust the most. Now, I don't know what everybody has, but I know what I've seen. And so I trust PSA when it comes to their authentication qualifications, for sure. Josh says, buy the card, not the grade. Snoop says, it seems the hobby has decided if it gets slabbed, it's authentic. Yeah, that's a good point, right? And that was an issue with the fake patches. If Beckett Grading Services slabbed a card, the hobby expected that card was authentic as it came out of the pack, but there's no way for them to track or trace or detect if a patch had been swapped out, because the patch fakers are just that good at it. They don't leave any traces. So, but I agree with that comment for sure. Let's see. Boy, oh boy, the comments. Wow. Should I just skip a whole couple chunks and move down to skip a whole bunch? And let's see. I came to Brian Basketball. I saw thank you to Jeremy to giving me a platform to ask Ken the question. And again, thank you, Ken, for taking the time. You are welcome. Dave Kaplan, good evening. Welcome to the show. What do we have up here? Trying to make grading exclusive to the wealthy. I must have missed something. That's what happens, Max, when you skip a whole bunch of comments in these lives. You kind of lose context for the conversation, which I don't like to do. I don't like to lose context. Josh says, has any company ever struggled to learn how to make cards? Probably out of the gate. They probably struggled for a little bit until they came up with their plan. Interesting question. Business idea for Golden, high-end whatnot-like platform for Golden clients, live streaming. Yeah, interesting idea. Or maybe just use Whatnot. Whatnot's a great company. Big fan. Card Killer, I'll give you my mask to Card Porn to wear. To wear. See, now we got all this like content creator crossover stuff going. That's great. I feel like, Max, we should just sit back and let everybody ask Ken questions right now, because a lot of the chat is just Ken. Got questions.
I mean, like Ken's making his presence felt right now in the chat. He's working the chat right now, so you know.
Exactly. Daniel Busby says, can we go back and watch Ken's show from yesterday on YouTube? If not, where can we watch it? On his Instagram Live. But you know, don't leave us right now. Wait till tomorrow at least. Wait till tomorrow. Too funny. All right, lots of comments. I can't even keep up anymore, but let's see. There is some interesting stuff here, or extra interesting stuff. Summertime says, I never see the heads of Panini Tops in Instagram Lives participate in the community. Luber already is. I mean, I don't see a lot of tops, but I've had a couple of people from Panini on the show. I've tried to have a couple that couldn't make it, so you just never know. Ken says, I would give Josh Luber the same benefit of the doubt people give Nat Turner with PSA. Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at too. Right there is that these are collectors. These are young collectors, and I agree with that. That's my position as well. And getting to know Josh a little bit, Josh Luber, from having him on the show and talking to him, he and with what Max says as well, just corroborating it even more. I mean, these guys don't want to not be a success. They don't want to, you know, head up a project and not see it turn out to be as good as it can be. And sometimes, you know, these are the guys that have all the innovative ideas that take it to the next level. Like, you need new blood, and it's new blood. So I'm gonna give the benefit of the doubt. But again, we'll have to see how things go. Hockey, I want to know what Ken had for dinner. I had the filet at Ken's dinner. What did you have, Max?
I had the salmon.
How was it?
I mean, it was excellent salmon. I mean, it was all good.
Capital Grill makes a pretty good dinner, don't they?
Yes, sir.
I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it for sure. Seth Powell has a question to you, Max. How are you feeling about Cade Cunningham?
I mean, I'm feeling spectacular about Cade Cunningham. I mean, as a Pistons fan, finally have something to root for, you know, something to root for here, something to get excited about. Shout out to my friend Isaiah Livers, who was also drafted by the Pistons in the second round. I'm very excited about that, and can't wait to go to the season opener. I'm about to buy some tickets next week, so looking forward to it.
Cool. Congrats to your buddy for getting drafted. That's always awesome.
Yeah, it was. It's wild. I mean, I just graduated from the University of Michigan in the spring, and we met in the summer of freshman year, and it's crazy to see him go from, you know, just like a freshman at the University of Michigan all the way to getting drafted by the hometown team Pistons. So his name's Isaiah Livers. Go check him out. He's a 3-and-D kind of guy.
Very cool. Very cool. All right, we have three comments in a row here. We're gonna read out. Mike Wick says, as with any good business, I'm sure they have a plan in place and no market trends. And Josh is a collector, so I hate to see tops go, but it will be in good hands. That's a really well written comment, Mike Wick. I hate to see tops go, because everybody would hate to see tops go, but it'll be in good hands. And I think if we put that, you know, if enough people kind of, it doesn't matter what we think. What matters is what Josh and Fanatics end up doing. And I am a believer in that comment from Mike Wick. Luke says, people get salty when something new comes around. We are dealing with a new young generation. Relax, people. Everything will be fine. I agree, Max. You're younger. What do you? Same thing.
I mean, there's been so much change, and there's so much change to come. You know, you just kind of go with the flow, I guess. That's how I'm approaching it.
Agree. Angie says, "What do you think of Fanatics and Tops working together make the hobby more accessible to the middle class people, not only the rich?" I mean, I think that's going to happen. I think that the hobby, by the hobby being accessible to not only the rich, I think you're talking about new products where it's $2,000 for a box of packs or wax. That's tough. That it's really tough to afford that, and maybe that is only for the rich. But I do believe, And maybe it's just blind hope. Maybe I'm naive, but I do believe that Fanatics is going to want to expand the hobby to the point where everybody can collect, because that's going to be best for their bottom line. And it's going to be maybe best for the greater hobby, as long as it endures, as long as it lasts. If it's only for 5 or 10 years, then it turns into a junk wax. I don't know if it's wax even at that point, but it turns into a junk card era, you know, because if it does kind of go back to where it is today, or even, you know, before this boom of 2020, then the Fanatics era becomes like the 90s again, although with social media and internet and all that. Interesting thought, though. Daniel Busby, this Tuesday on HBO Sports, are doing a special on cards with the Card Shop Grand Slam Collectibles. That's awesome. Have to check that out for sure.
Yeah, I didn't hear about that one.
No, me neither. Brian Basketballs says, my local LCS has been at the same location in Norman since 1978. My next visit to the dugout in Norman will be, the chat will be lively. Been trying to get him to let me film in there. So far, a no go. Why would anyone not let you film in their store? That's like the opposite of marketing. It's the exact opposite of expanding your business. I don't know. But he did start by saying it's been in the same location since 1978. If that's the same owner, you know, some people of the older generation are just, you know, they're Luddites. It's tough for them to really get their head around some of this technology. So I can understand that being the case, but probably not the best way to grow your business. What's the LCS situation like for you, Max, in Detroit?
Yeah, so actually one just opened up recently, within the last couple of months. It's called Three Kings Sports Cards. That's the one that I've been kind of going to good, you know, recently. There's another one called Rochester Sports Cards, but there's nothing, I wouldn't say there's one dominant place near me. There's kind of a bunch scattered all over the place.
So I don't know if I ever told you this. I'm actually 100% positive I didn't, because I haven't talked to you that much in our lives yet, but I lived in Ann Arbor, Michigan for a year.
You did?
I did.
Wow.
I did. Yeah. I was 6 years old. My father was going to school there, and we moved there for a year of his schooling in the late 70s, the very late 70s. So yeah.
That's pretty crazy. I had no idea.
Is that near you? I don't even know where it is.
Ann Arbor? I mean, I've lived in Ann Arbor the past 4 or 5 years, but yeah, it's like 40 minutes from where I am currently.
Oh, you live there. That's cool. Yeah. I'll have to ask my mother if she knows what our address was. I'll let you know if that maybe you live in the same complex. We lived in some sort of a townhouse or something back then. Cool. Beavis Card says, to keep the Topps tradition alive, let's bring back the stick of gum and stains on your Zion rookie. I'm all for the sticks of gum. Speaking of which, I have some sticks. I have some gum right here. This is actually authentic. This is 1975-76 OPG.
Are you serious
gum.
Right now?
I'm serious, dude.
Why?
I'll tell you why. And here I have some 85-86 OPG still stuck to the card. Actually, there's like 4 cards in here. And the gum, why? Because during the virtual expo in June, a buddy of mine opened some packs in my booth at the end of the show. And I said, hey, send me the gum. I'll eat it. I'll eat it on a show. And I kind of haven't yet. But look at this. Full stick of gum on 85 OPG here.
Odds you try to chew that piece of gum.
I'll eat it right now. I'll eat this right now. I'll take it off as long as it's not full of. And this is a Boston Bruins piece. So if Eric is watching, I'll have to send him the card. Oh yeah, it's like it's really. Can you see this? It's coming off. Just a little bit of ink from the sticker on there still. Should I eat it?
Oh God.
Oh, it's horrible.
Oh, that's great.
I love the taste though. 85-86, guys. 35 years old.
That's legendary right there.
It's like dissolving in my mouth. Ink Paper Wax says cards cards originally came with tobacco, then gum, then shiny foil. What's next? Yeah, they don't come. You print them from a printer in your house, apparently. Gosh, I hope not. Drake Robinson, I honestly don't see how Fanatics takes all the licenses without acquiring all of Topps and Panini's intellectual properties. Seems it's likely they'll need want to try to do that, buy them out. Yeah, a lot of people are speculating that way. Wow. Tons of comments again. David Cron, I like this point. Change is hard. Innovation is good. Whether or not you like what Fanatics does, we'll always have the cards that were already made. There you go. That's what you want to tell yourself before you go to bed tonight, guys. You'll always have the cards that were already made. Exactly. And there's lots of them. I've been collecting my whole life and I'm still finding new things to collect. And I'm thankful for that, for sure. Oh, Logan Ward says maybe the LCS is afraid of theft. The one that's been around since 1978.
With what's been going on, I can't blame the guy if that's the case.
Yeah, could be. Ken Golden says Cards and Coffee is looking to have 20 to 50 stores. I had DJ Ski on the show earlier this year, a couple months ago, and we talked and he said, yeah, they're looking to build out some stores in different locations. I think they have two right now. Is it Salt Lake City, I believe, and LA? And I think they were looking at another one at that time. And I'm sure they're well ahead of those plans right now, because that was a few months ago, for sure. Busby says, Brian, I'm in Tulsa. We have SNS here and B. I don't know what all that means. David Cron also lived in Ann Arbor until I was 5, right up the time of the Fab Five. Max needs a Chris Webber PZ. That's kind of random. Is Chris Webber, did he go to, is that where he went to college?
Yeah, I'm actually I'm in grad school at Michigan right now. I'm interested in moving back to Ann Arbor on Tuesday. But Chris Webber, I do not have any Chris Webber cards, but I do have a Chris Webber jersey. So there's that.
You got something. That's great. Junk Wax Gem says, I have a massive gum collection. That's awesome. I'd like to Junk Wax Gems. I mean, if you're serious, like, I'd actually like to see that. Is it gum from packs of cards, or is it just all the gum that's ever been made by like Wrigley's and all these gum companies? I'd love to see your gum collection. That's pretty cool. Okay. Is it cool? I think it's cool, but some people might roll their eyes at me thinking it's cool, but that's okay. I think it's cool. Mike Wick, I remember you chewing the old gum on one show. Yeah, from the same batch. I just haven't chewed any of it since then. Ken says, Ken Richardson, 10 years ago, very few stores would let you take pictures in stores, some in fear of pricing or marketing ideas. Now it has more to do with security. All right, there we go. Always nice to get the insights from the guys who know. It's so big, he has two stores next to each other. I'm not sure what that's in relation to. Oh, maybe it's the store from 1978. Eat the gum may help settle your stomach from the spicy chicken Pringles. Thank you, Big Unit. Is 85, 86 gum a good vintage? What flavor notes? It was not the best vintage, actually. The old original flavor didn't really come. Like it came a little bit later. I'm not a wine taster. I don't know all the lingo, and I wish I could throw it in, out there right now and sound all classy. Max probably could. He's drinking wine right now.
Yeah, I'm halfway through this bottle right now. We're making progress.
We're making progress, buddy. We are making progress. Oh, from PAX. He's got the collection of gum from PAX. That's hilarious. Hilarious. Ink, Paper, Wax, Malice from the Palace. I just watched that a couple nights ago. What a production that was. Wow. I didn't realize how... I mean, I don't remember it happening. I just don't. But it was crazy. Do you remember that happening?
I mean, I was 4 or 5 years old at the time. Five years old. So I don't remember it happening. But obviously, being from Detroit, I watched it countless times, the whole thing start to finish. And it's just crazy. Like, can you imagine that happening in today's world? It was social media and everything, and just...
You gotta wonder, right? I mean, Ron Artest, is there a player in the league that would jump into the stand? And I mean, he was provoked, and it's hard to blame him for doing that, you know. But is there a player like they there's so much training that they give these players now on how to conduct themselves in public. And, you know, even the money has changed. Like, is there a player that would do that in today's game? Or would they really, would they just not do it? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think any high profile player would do that. You know, maybe a Patrick Beverley might be a little triggered, might lose some control. But aside from him, I can't think of anybody off the top of my head that would pull a Ron Artest and jump in the stand.
Yeah, yeah. You gotta wonder. I saw something recently, like, you know, in hockey, they fight each other like all the time, and hockey purists say that fighting needs to stay in hockey. And I'm actually on the other side of the fence there. I think that the fighting in hockey kind of is maybe part of the reason why, and I might be totally wrong on this, but I think it's potentially part of the reason why hockey hasn't grown to the extent I think it should, because it's so much fun to watch outside of Canada and outside of some of the bigger hockey states and cities in the US to really catch on. But on the other hand, maybe it's what would bring more people in. Or do a lot of fans in the United States feel like, well, it's archaic, you know, we don't want to watch that. Like, meanwhile, in basketball, football, you can't fight, right? You just can't. And in basketball, they don't want to fight. They're all buddies anyway. In baseball, it's always exciting when a team, when you've got a bench clearing brawl, but it doesn't happen very often. Like, are you a hockey fan, Max?
I mean, I'll go to games, obviously, and I'm lucky enough to have the Red Wings as my team. You know, a storied franchise, one of the most winning franchises of all time, in the original six. You know, but I think part of the reason why hockey isn't as, you know, mainstream or isn't as popular in the U.S. at least is just, you know, the just ginormous international presence of players, and, you know, it doesn't help with, you know, the name's hard to pronounce and everything. But with that said, a guy named Giannis Antetokounmpo is the face of the NBA at the moment, or one of them. So, you know, I don't know. It's kind of perplexing.
Yeah, for sure. We're getting some real-time feedback here on the fighting and hockey thing. Drake says, I don't watch hockey regularly, but I like the fights. Tom says, nah, people love fights and chaos. Yeah, I mean, I guess there's some truth to that. I just wonder what it is about hockey that keeps it, you know, at the National this year. There's always been more hockey than there was this year. This was the year I saw the least amount of hockey. There was some, but, and the guys that had it were telling me that people were asking them, you know, they were busy because they were the only ones that had it. Like, I think I saw two guys that had showcases that were exclusively dedicated to hockey. And they were saying that, you know, that the demand was there. But it seemed like, and it's no surprise, tons of soccer. Everywhere you looked, there were soccer cards. And I wonder if it's because of who's making them, you know? There you, yeah, yeah.
Soccer. I will say, though, that the NHL's, I hope they don't take having a guy like Connor McDavid in the league at the moment for granted, in terms of the marketing and just, you know, I mean, they have a generational kind of guy, so they should probably take advantage of it while they can.
Does it hurt that he plays in Canada, though, and he doesn't probably play for Europe? Yeah. I think that's got to be a problem. You know, if he played for the Rangers or the Blackhawks or the Red Wings, the Boston Bruins, the LA Kings, you know, that would probably be helpful for the growth, because more people would see him and just how exciting he is to watch, because he is truly the best player in the NHL. And he's probably, you know, he's not, I would almost go as far as saying he's probably a better player than Sidney Crosby is, but doesn't mean that he's going to have that success. I mean, like, just skill wise, probably better than Sidney, but doesn't mean he's a better teammate. Doesn't mean he's a better leader. You know, Crosby's got all that going for him. Plus, a very strong surrounding cast. You know, he's got a lot of, as Carvin calls them, goat moments. So, you know, those things go a long way. Connor McDavid doesn't have a GOAT moment yet. And for his cards to compete with Crosby's and for that matter, Ovechkin's, he will need to, I believe, to win a championship or two. So we'll see. We'll see. Here, Hockey Guy says, hockey isn't popular because it's marketed awfully in the U.S., not shown on a major actually watched network. Yeah, that's gonna hold you back, right? Brian Basketball says, I make my business cards from all my old foils I kept. I call them all 101s with my sign on the back. That's cool. Really cool. Like to see those. Tom Bullard, we pay for UFC cage fighting and bare knuckle boxing, so I don't think it should be taken out if it helps police the culture. Okay. Ken Golden was the Broad Street Bullies as a kid. Yeah, that's talking about the Philadelphia Flyers. They were tough in the 70s. Marketing and no personalities in hockey. I mean, false. No personalities in hockey, dude.
I remember when the Capitals won the Stanley Cup a couple of years ago, and I saw Ovechkin swimming in a water fountain or in some fountain somewhere.
Yeah, and, exactly. Yeah. He was right when he won the cup, you couldn't help but be excited for him and want to understand what he was excited about being the sport of hockey and winning the Stanley Cup. But to say no personalities in hockey, I mean, I don't know about that. But Ovechkin is likely now more popular in the U.S. than Crosby due to his antics with the cup. Yeah, he's got charisma. He definitely does. All right, how you doing for energy there, Max? It's late. You've had some wine. You still good to go through some more comments here? And
you tell me when you're ready to pack things up. I'm still good to go.
All right. No, that sounds good, man. I know it's just we started a little bit late. Is there anything else that you wanted to chat about tonight that we haven't? It's been a lot of the comments. Anything we kind of got through, you know, the agenda items pretty quick and early there. Anything else that you wanted to talk about or takes you have, theories, ideas?
I will say Gold Kaboom's very, very undervalued, very low key at the moment. Aside from that, though, there's not really any other agenda items. I will say Hobby Update has a big announcement coming soon, which should be interesting, so stay tuned for that. But, I don't have any other agenda items per se.
What about, like, you dropped an episode on Thursday, I think it was, or yesterday or Thursday?
Yeah, we're going to be dropping another one on Monday just because there's so much news to catch up on, and then we'll get back to regularly scheduled episodes dropping on Thursdays after that.
So Monday and then Thursday and then Thursdays.
Yep.
Anything about this coming episode on Monday to get people to want to tune in even more than they already do?
Just go watch Shay on Golden's Live. Go rewatch that, we'll just be talking about, you know, giving our hot takes on bunch of the news that's come out over the last couple of days. It's always entertaining.
Sounds good. I you know, as you know, I'm a fan of your guys' podcast. I have been since episode one, so I'll definitely be turning in. Jordan Riker wants to know, not sure if it's been covered, but where did Putnam name come from? Why is it not Norris Car? And now, I'm not going to spoil it, but, you know, I asked the exact same question of Max at the National, Jordan. So, Max, let's hear it again.
So, even though I lived in Ann Arbor the last 5 years being in college, my parents' house, I've lived on the same street my whole life, and it's called Putnam Drive. Don't come and steal all my prized possessions, but Putnam Drive is just the street that I've lived on my whole life. It's where my car collecting journey started, and it's where it's continued all these years. So yeah, it's just a street that I live on. Norris Cards doesn't have the same ring to it.
Putnam it doesn't. Cards.
Yeah.
Putnam Cards is good, man. At first I totally assumed your last name. I thought your name was Max Putnam. It just made sense to me. It is not. Yeah. Angie says hockey in Montreal is like a part of life. It's a way of life in Montreal. Montreal might have the most passionate hockey fans in the world, even more than the Toronto Maple Leafs do, even more than the Boston Bruins. Those three cities to me seem to have the most passionate fans from what I've seen. Ken Golden says hockey players have always been the nicest when I dealt with them. I mean, that's nice to hear, you know, and that's not the first time I've heard that. You hear that all the time. Carvin says the same thing. So very nice. Ink, paper, wax collector says no personalities in hockey. Have you never heard of Sean Avery? That's not the personality we want. I don't like that guy, but he's a personality. That's for sure. Is anyone talking about the fact that Spalding lost the rights to the NBA basketball starting this season? Wilson says, yeah, you can say I'm back in the best John Wick voice. Sorry, I'm Brad Basketballs. You're hilarious, man. Hilarious. Colin says, hockey is to Canadians for Americans fight. Hockey is too Canadian for Americans. Fighting is a part of hockey. Hockey is too Canadian for Americans. Okay.
Missing an O there on the two.
Yeah. That's why it did confuse me a little bit, but I get it. Do you think soccer and F1 is speculative or is genuinely taking hold with collector? I think I'm going to go first, Max, but I want your perspective too, especially if it's different than mine. I think it's genuinely taking hold. Now, it might be a bit trendy. Doesn't mean it's going to go away altogether. There are fans. There are passionate soccer fans. And F1, there are passionate F1 fans. And I've become, ever since I watched the documentary, Need for Speed or whatever it's called, Drive to Survive, I don't even remember, whatever it was called, I watched all 30 episodes. I loved it. Felt like I got to know all 20 drivers and the team principals. Like, talk about integrating you and this, like, opening up the doors to let you understand what a great marketing initiative that was and entertaining. I'm a fan of F1. I've got two cards in my collection, and I can see myself adding more. So, and as long as I enjoy watching, I love watching it on Sundays. It's like my chill, relax sort of thing. Max, what do you think?
3 years ago, I just wanted nothing to do with soccer. I didn't like it. I couldn't watch the games. I didn't have any cards. And now, because I'm into soccer cards now, I watch the games. I'm into the sport, you know. I'm learning more of the players, more of the teams, how the sport it's set up itself, the structure of it, all the different leagues, the tournaments, this and that. So soccer is like becoming big for me, at least. Now, with that said, F1 is kind of like for me right now where I was at with soccer 3 years ago. And I want nothing to do with it. I wasn't into it. I didn't know anything about it. Obviously, I know the top couple guys in it. But, you know, I'm not in an F1 right now. That could change. I think it's kind of speculative at the moment. But, again, I don't really know that much about it to have a super informed opinion. But soccer, I think if you're just looking – I know soccer's grown a lot this year percentage-wise, the overall market. But I think if you're looking like just – in terms of to a sport to buy, to hold for 5 years or 10 years, I think soccer, it doesn't get much, much better than soccer. Just it with PSA possibly expanding, you know, elsewhere, overseas, internationally or something. And I just think, you know, the World Cup is here in 2026. In North America, you have another World Cup next year. I just think soccer is going to become more and more ingrained within the culture in the U.S.
That's the thing.
It's already worldwide.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. If it becomes ingrained, then it's going to be a winner for sure. So Jordan makes the comment here, every F1 race has 90 million viewers. The Super Bowl has 90 million viewers. F1 has, I think it's 20 races a season. It's massive worldwide. I mean, that's the thing. But it's massive in countries that don't care about cards. They just want to go watch their races and cheer on their drivers. If cardboard can expand to some of these F1 countries, then look out. It could be a force to be reckoned with for sure. Yeah, the documentary is called Drive to Survive. Yeah, Jordan was with me through just watching the show as I was watching the episodes, and certainly enjoyed it. Logan Ward, who is a NASCAR guy, says, let's face it, most of the hobby had no idea who Lewis Hamilton was 4 months ago. That, you know, obviously that's true. I didn't even really know who Lewis Hamilton was as early as March, probably. I mean, I'd heard the name, but I didn't even understand F1. Now, I didn't know what was what. I knew there was F1. I knew there was NASCAR. I knew there was Indy. but I didn't know what cars went on what tracks or raced in what races. But now, and a guy, one of the guys on my team at work, he's a huge F1 fan. Like 20 years, he's been all over this thing. So now he's helping me learn it as well and tell, you know, kind of the lingo and all the things. So anyway, I'm very excited about it. Jordan says, Metal Universe Hockey finally has a set release date. What impact will this have on the hockey market as a whole? Well, I think it's going to get people excited about that release specifically. And talking to Billy, who's the product manager on it, he said that next year's will be even better. So looking forward to that. I want to see them mix it up and not do the same inserts every year. And I hope that that I can get in his ear enough to see that through, which I will be in his ear. Whether it's enough is another story, though. Max, are you familiar with the product that's coming?
A little bit. Yeah, I've heard about it. Yeah, I've heard about it.
Very good. Here's a question for you, Max. What do you think about the price disparity between BGS and PSA, and how do you see that evolving over the next 5+ years? That's such a tough question, right? 5+ years, that's a long time. It's tough to say. Any comments?
Somebody needs to buy BGS. Like really badly. I'll just leave it there.
Time will tell. I mean, I keep saying that tonight, but we will see. M Perk, the gum dissolved in my mouth like 2 minutes after I put it in. So no, I am not, but I appreciate the concerns. I really do. I really do. Jordan makes a counterpoint. 2 years ago, nobody knew who Kylian Mbappe was. Look at what happened since. Lewis Hamilton is bigger in F1 than Mbappe is in soccer. Interesting point. Interesting point.
Super interesting point. You know, I mean, part of the reason why I got into soccer in the first place is because some of my friends were, you know, like really into it. And like they had like favorite, you know, their favorite clubs, and they would watch them on, you know, TV like early in the morning. And, you know, I don't feel that same thing with F1. Like I don't have any friends really that are super into it. Obviously that can change. But that is a good point. I didn't know who Mbappe was, you know, a year ago. So
no, me neither. Angie making a case for hockey. Please, everybody, hockey is a beautiful sport. People are very biased with their opinions. Whenever there was a fight at a Canadiens game, you see everybody get excited. Nobody leaves their seat, meaning nobody goes to the bathroom or goes to get a beer. Everyone stays to watch the fights at the games, for sure. Max, have you watched Drive to Survive?
Negative.
See, I would recommend you watch it, not because I want you to get into F1 cards, but it's awesome. Like it's 30 episodes. They're like 30 to 35 minutes long. So they're not very, it's not like hour long. And it's just, it's gripping from the opening shot. You don't want to turn it off. I loved it. But
okay, you know what? Once I get done with this season of Ted Lasso, I will watch Drive to Survive.
Perfect. Okay. We're holding you to it, buddy. And when you're done, you come back on here and we'll talk about it and we'll compare our F1 cards. How's that sound?
Oh God. Now I got to go. It's all right. We'll make it happen.
You'll probably get some. All right, man. Listen, we are at the hour 35 mark. I'm getting tired. It's been a long day. Lots of episodes. A long episode earlier on tonight. A pleasure with you. We're going to take the final. So guys, get your final comments in. We're not wrapping up right now, but we're going to wrap up soon. Get your final comments in, and we will wrap this up in the next few minutes. Purple Haze says, what are your thoughts on TGT, the transparent grading team, and the access to grader notes on a card's grade? So I do have comments on that. But first, Max, are you familiar with TGT?
Never heard of it.
So TGT is, I don't know if it's owned or part owner, is Pixburg on Instagram, also known as Anthony. Nice guy, came by at the National and we said hello. He showed me how TGT works. And it's truly a transparent grading system. And I say that because what happens with their, and he sent me one to show me, but it's in my briefcase, which is upstairs. So I don't have it here with me right now. But unfortunately, I'll show it another time. But the way this works is you've got the slab, right? You got the slab, right, Max? See it? Anyway, you scan like the QR code on the back on your phone, and it takes you to the TGT's images of your card. And in that image, every flaw that they identified has a little circle or square around it, showing you what they saw. Transparency, right? To me, that's transparency, because you know what they saw. Now, that's interesting, and it's definitely different than anything else we've seen. I've never seen anything like that exactly. You know, with PSA, you get no information on why your card graded as it did. No story, nothing, which isn't ideal. Beckett Grading Services, you get subgrades. Doesn't tell you what they saw. It just tells you how the subgrade, it just gives you four grades instead of one, but you still don't know what they saw. TGT is showing you everything. That said, I really like that. That I respect. I like the transparency. I think it's cool. But all that said, their challenges are going to be getting market share, brand value, and that's going to take time. And then you need Ken Golden to allow you on his platform as well to really make, you know, kind of make it sort of thing. So time will tell, of course. Thank you, Lapper. Before we move on from that, though, Max, any comments based on what I just explained?
I love this. I love the idea and the concept of it, like actually explaining. I mean, it shouldn't seem like that's such a crazy concept, explaining why a card got the grade it did. But, you know, that's the bar is low, I guess.
Yeah. I think it's a great sort of competitive advantage, but competing will still be challenging, you know, just because they're a new grading company. But Anthony's a really nice guy. I wish him well, and we'll see how they do. We'll see how they do. I wish them luck. Good night to Logan. Brian Basketball, and so how much did the Brady sell for? I'm on the edge of my seat. It sold for $2.88 million. The PSA 10 with a 10 auto. Wow. Sold for $2.88 million tonight. Brian Basketballs. You are welcome, Brian Basketball. Thank you for joining. Great to have you as part of the chat. Tom Bullard, along with the grader, having to sign their name to the card in the database at TGT. They should talk and hire on Mike Baker to have that be one of the graders signing off. That'd be interesting. Yeah. But Mike Baker has his own thing going too, so that might be hard to do. Thank you, Big Unit. Really appreciate it. All right. That's it, guys. Max, man, it's been awesome hanging out with you. Appreciate it. Great to get to know you at the National. I look forward to many more years and being friends with you, because I just think you're a cool cat. And hey, that's the same term. That's the same term I used to describe Filmington. So that's something. That's something.
Well, thank you for having me on. Truly an honor to be on the show. I've been watching it for a long time. So to be on, it's kind of crazy. So I really do appreciate you reaching out and asking me to be on. It was a great time, obviously.
No, ever since meeting you at Chris HOJ's event at, and there he is at the National, I just thought, you know, want to hang out with you. So it's been awesome. Thank you, Chris, for joining tonight as well. Thank you, Purple Haze. Much appreciated. All right, guys. Mike Wick, thank you again. Says thanks as always for a great show and guests. You are welcome, Mike. Thank you for being here tonight. So again, reminder, if you are still here with us and we still have people watching tomorrow night, 10 o'clock Eastern, Brian Gray will be joining me. And maybe I did throw out the invitation to Ken to join as well towards maybe the second half. And we'll see if he does. But, you know, we'll see if that works out. If not, no problem. It is a Sunday night and it's late. Anyway, everybody, thanks again. We'll see you tomorrow night. If not, we'll see you next weekend. And have a great week ahead. Yeah, as Tom Bullard says, like the video. Subscribe if you haven't. Much appreciated. Max, you wait right there. Everybody else, good night. Thank you for a wonderful evening.